What does momentum look like to us at Anterix? Throughout last year, major forces aligned to build increasing momentum in the utility industry's adoption of private LTE to support the modern grid technologies that will enable a more secure, reliable, and cleaner energy future. In 2023 and beyond, Anterix will continue to build the momentum behind 900 megahertz private LTE as we educate, innovate, and collaborate across the energy and telecommunications sectors to support grid modernization and the clean energy transition. Anterix, it's where utility meets connectivity. To learn more, visit anterix.com.
Thank you for meeting us at the intersection where the worlds of energy and technology come together.
Thank you for meeting us at the intersection sponsored by Anterix. For those of you listening for the first time, welcome. For returning listeners, welcome back. I'm Interim President and CEO of UTC, Ron Beck, and today I'm honored to host New York State Public Service Commissioner Diane Berman. Commissioner Berman and her colleagues oversee the regulation of New York's electric, gas, steam, telecommunications, and other water utilities that oversee the cable industry. In addition, the commission exercises jurisdiction over the siting of major gas and electric transmission facilities and is responsible for ensuring the safety of natural gas and liquid petroleum pipelines. Commissioner Berman is also a member of the National Association of Regulatory Utility Commissioners, Committees on Gas, International Relations, Washington Action Program, the Committee on Critical Infrastructure, the Special Committee on Pipeline Safety, and the Select Committee on Regulatory and Industry Diversity. She also chairs the NARUC Department of Energy Natural Gas Partnership Initiative and was also recently appointed by the NARUC President as the co-vice chair of the Select Committee on Regulatory and Industry Diversity and to the Task Force on Emergency Preparedness, Recovery, and Resiliency, as well as the Task Force's Special Subcommittee on Lessons Learned from COVID-19. Commissioner Berman was selected to be part of the United States Agency for International Development and the NARUC Women's Global Development and Prosperity Initiative, hoping to both foster women's economic empowerment and advance women leaders in energy. She served on the NARUC Board of Directors from February 2018 to December 2020 and is the immediate past chair of the NARUC Gas Committee. Commissioner Berman serves as the vice chair of the U.S. Department of Transportation Pipeline and Hazardous Material Safety Administration Gas Pipeline Advisory Committee. Last, and certainly not least, Commissioner Berman is active in her community. Amongst her other management positions, she served as the executive director of New York State PTA and the assistant executive directory of the Albany Jewish Community Center. Welcome, Commissioner Berman. Thank you for joining us. And is there anything else you'd like to share about yourself?
Oh, thank you. I would share that on a personal level, I am now training to run in the New York City Marathon. I wasn't a runner beforehand, but I am with a group of 50 women and allies in energy, nationally and internationally, that have joined together to support each other in running in the New York City Marathon. And our focus really is on how we can, in the energy space, as we're working towards net zero and decarbonization goals, how we can sort of model it on a personal level of the challenges with setting our speed, the pace, and the balance that we need to successfully achieve running in the New York City Marathon.
Wow, that is an interesting goal, because I think metaphorically, exactly, the pace, the endurance, the training up to it, I think that's a great framework for almost any initiative that that any of our listeners can equate there. I know years ago, I was challenged by one of our county commissioners to join him in a half marathon. And at the time, he said, we'll just do it as a 10K and then walk the rest. I completed the half marathon. And at the end, I pretty much knew that I didn't have a full marathon within myself. But I can see with what you're talking about, especially in a team environment, in a group with a common goal, I may rethink that position.
it's a great experience, and it's coming from a place for myself, having not been a runner. In February, I couldn't run 500 feet without being winded. And really, it's been an incredible experience working towards the goal of the New York City Marathon, and working with an incredible group, feeling like what we started seemed impossible. And now, you know, the support and working together has been really fascinating and inspiring.
I can see where it would be, you know, on any project, an initiative like this, there's always those, everybody signs on and is enthusiastic in the beginning. And then as the project moves on, as you pick up from, as you said, not being able to run very far to running that first mile and 10 kilometers, and then you finally get to the point where you recognize this can happen, I'm sure there's a lot of support amongst the group, a lot of discussion amongst the group as to different strategies that may help you all complete together.
Yes, absolutely. It's been great.
Wow. Well, you have a wealth of experience, and I know our listeners are practitioners within the telecommunications space, and specifically the telecommunications systems that the utilities that your commission has a lot of oversight on. When you look at gas, pipeline, water, electrical, generation, transmission, distribution, there's a lot of situational awareness that the utilities have used over the years. And then now with the smart initiatives, I saw it first in the smart electric grid, but I'm seeing a number of smart cities, smart water, start to look at the data that flows and how the individual consumer of what was the base utility, the water, the gas, the electrical, is now becoming a consumer of the data. It's changing the environment. As a New York State Public Service Commissioner, within your policy experience, you know, the obvious question, what brought you to this point?
So I think my career has really been focused on economic development and energy issues that came from that. But sort of going backwards, when I was 10 years old, I was in the hospital for special surgery in New York City, and was part of witnessing the blackout of 1977. And as a young child in the city with some severe health issues, I really had a sort of firsthand glance at what it means for the lights to go out and the fear that happens with that. And while the generating lights came on, there was a significant focus at the hospital about triaging because there was a concern that the generators were not going to last, and what they were going to do and how they were going to have to figure out who needed to stay and who had to be moved. And for me, it left a significant impression. And I think, you know, over the years, on the anniversary of the blackout, and then every 5 years, 10 years, and so on, there was sort of a refocus on what does it mean. And the single thing that sort of left a mark for me is the need for leadership in crisis, and a need to ensure that we are planning and focused on keeping everyone safe. And that sort of leadership focus really has been part of my career in terms of wanting to step up and do the public good. And for me, it's not unnatural that I would lean towards a career that's focused on keeping the lights on, and if the lights go out, how to make sure that they come back on. And I really live and breathe the challenges of energy policy and balancing reliability and environmental sustainability and the cost of energy supply to meet the needs and demands of consumers and to support the growth of our state's economy. So I really very much appreciate that I've been in this role now for, as a commissioner, for over 10 years, and feel very committed to helping to shape our clean energy future.
That's a great point. And I appreciate that, because the 1977 blackout is one that many looked to as you say, the need for electricity and the reason why reliable electricity underpins so much of commerce, but more importantly, public safety, the hospitals, the law enforcement, the fire, the pumps that charge the hydrants, all of those pieces, bring us to partnerships. And it's the leadership that you talk about that really is where, at the grassroots level within the state of New York, that you can see a lot of those partnerships come together, the agreement ahead of the outage. And I think many of our listeners will remember, 20 years ago, we had the other blackout that everybody talks about, the East Coast blackout in 2003. And it was a waterfall moment for the electric industry specifically, and around cybersecurity, an entirely different aspect that many of us had not considered really prior to that blackout, and where we started to look at the bigger pictures and those partnerships. One of the partnerships that I know a lot of our members are very keen to, I guess, is, the commission, your commission is responsible for a lot of issues, regulations, developing those partnerships, making sure they're fair, joint use. So poles, underground, right-of-way, easements, where multiple utilities site, where you can be on a common structure instead of multiple structures. No one wants to see a roadway with a power line, telephone line, other communications facilities, all on independent structures. So for us, it's a very important, complex issue, especially when you look at a utility that crosses borders. That being said, what do you see as the commission's role in fostering, harmony or partnerships between the pole owner and other users that may want to be part of that infrastructure?
Well, I think it's a great question, and I agree that the commission does have a significant role in this space. Utility poles and attachments are really at the center of efforts to expand next generation internet network infrastructure deployment and broadband. Pole access is extremely important for providers to easily and cost effectively bring broadband to an area. There are many different issues when we look at this space: level of competition, services available to community. Gaining access to poles can be a long and arduous and costly journey, and there are many perhaps barriers to entry. Each state may look at it differently, whether they are following the FCC rules or they have their own rules that have been approved on policies on pole attachments. And that can be complex and different state by state. Access standards are really important. Pole attachments, and I kind of look at it as there are many different types. There are many different aspects with pole clearances, their access to conduit and rights of way. You have to look at non-discriminatory access and looking at safety and reliability and technical engineering issues. You have to look at the costs on who pays for what, not just make-ready costs, but continual obligation to serve and to replace if necessary. And you have to address really the process. In New York, the commission and the Department of Public Service staff has for years worked with pole owners and attachers to facilitate attachments, which in turn has led to greater broadband deployment, among other things. The department has been successful in getting pole owners and attachers to work together to scale up their respective operations to accommodate a large project. The rules for attachers and utilities has a long history. It was established by a commission order adopting a policy statement back in August of 2004. And then they were recently amended because there needs to be a continuous improvement towards regulations and focus, especially as we're looking to build out more and especially as technology has advanced. And so it was most recently we made modifications in November of 2009. And then in February of 2022, the governor signed legislation requiring the commission, in conjunction with our New York State Broadband Program Office, which is now called Connect All Office, which is in our economic development sister agency, to initiate a proceeding to consider ways to streamline the utility pole access process, which includes dispute resolution models, cost sharing, the impact of broadband expansion into underserved areas, and cost obligations when an attachment requires the replacement of a utility pole. I really think it sort of is looking at addressing the kitchen sink in all different aspects that are before us in this area. Now, pending the outcome of that proceeding, I'm hopeful that there may be additional opportunities to foster an even stronger relationship between pole owners and attachers, which in turn can help us with broadband deployment and access that's necessary.
You know, that's, I'm taking notes so quickly here because you're covering a lot of ground that for me personally is very relevant. Some of our listeners will know that I was a telecommunications engineer for 30 something years in a utility in Oregon and dealt with a lot of, as you said, a state that made its own rules. New York, the FCC has its rules. And as you said, a lot of those are being reviewed again to be looked at as many of the broadband initiatives that are out there for underserved, unserved communities as money is becoming available. And as the data rates that are the minimum are going up, fiber seems to be the logical answer, or high-speed wireless in the last mile, or whatever the case may be. You bring up so many great issues, but Oregon was one of those states that, you know, I became very familiar with. I think many of the times we looked at New York as the other end of the spectrum. New York was doing it one way, we were doing it another, but ultimately 50 states plus U.S. territories are all dealing with the same thing. As you said, it's the safety and reliability of the poles, the engineering access, but also finding no barriers to entry, making it as streamlined as it possibly can. And I've studied this over the years, and New York is well ahead of the game. I commend you and the commission. And it is, as I said, an issue for all 50 states. And as a public service commissioner within New York, you deal with it from the state's perspective. But I think as a member of the work you're doing with NARUC on a national level, you get that national perspective as well. Could you share with some of our listeners, maybe at NARUC, what's happening, if you will, on the ground, how to get those best practices across the 50 states, the ones between, as I described it, New York and Oregon, and how we make one plan that I think is easy for, as I said at the onset, utilities that cross borders, that cross state lines.
Right. I do think it's a great opportunity for us as we are kind of looking at what we need to do and continuous learning and improving the challenges in this area. I think that, you know, it is for us, especially now we have, you know, new makeup at the FCC, an opportunity to look at what perhaps reforms need to be made governing pole attachments in general, and specifically looking at the process. You know, there's a lot of focus in the delay of the process, right? And the need for a really streamlined process without, though, you know, overlooking the necessary important examination of safety and reliability and the technical challenges. So I do think that looking for us at a national perspective, the members of NARUC can work together in seeing what each state is doing and how it is helpful or and maybe important to incorporate into their own state. No state is exactly alike, especially with the infrastructure challenges and how they do things and work together. But I think the most important thing is to take a look at ways for ensuring that pole owners and attachers can understand their respective rights and obligations and help further the state's goal, in our case, of universal broadband. The implementation of these rules, you know, we have legislation, but the implementation needs to be done prudently And that includes addressing issues such as disputes and ensuring compliance with the established rules to facilitate more efficient deployment of broadband and other advanced services across the state. The biggest opportunity I see is the, you know, really focused on how to work through those things that people may disagree with, such as cost allocation, and how to do it in a way that is fair and addressing the fact that there are significant costs that as we expand, in particular broadband to all customers, there are significant costs that electric ratepayers may need to pay in light of our state energy policy goals, and how to look at doing that in a way that is fair. And so I really do find myself in this area really examining what all the different states are doing and how they are looking now at refreshing some of their frameworks governing pole attachments and what we can bring to the table in our experience that has been helpful.
That's great. And I appreciate the mention on the FCC because as you said, they're up to full strength now. Commissioner Gomez right. has been confirmed, and UTC is looking forward to a great relationship with Commissioner Gomez, the rest of the commission, as we have been, as we work through a number of these issues. We have a lot in spectrum and enough, but you know, today when we talk about joint use, especially, I know as a utility practitioner, the fiber optic cable that my utility installed helped the middle mile piece, if you will, the connect the communities that enabled remote learning for schools, remote telemedicine, just a better quality of life all the way around, even to the point where the wireless carriers were leasers of a dark fiber plant. It helped them deploy quicker, faster, more efficiently, the wireless services that all of us have come to love to have in our hand. I spoke at the onset about the data that our consumers, the gas, the water, the electrical consumers now have available to them in their bills and the apps that are on those phones. Looking out at that industry, when we start talking about distributed grid, well, in the electric world, we see it as bidirectional flow, the historic model being from a large generator through a transmission system to substations in communities, to distribution systems out to the household. But now with small solar and community solar programs and other renewables being out on the edge, we see more of a localized, if you will, electric flow. What do you, as a commissioner, anticipate that the future holds? Or what does the commission see out there as the thing over the horizon that you've got your eye on?
So I think it's really important, you know, especially as we look at it on a local impact, to recognize how energy is personal. Each person has a particular issue in terms of what they need for their energy, for their personal and professional use. And for us, it's about ensuring that we are fully understanding the energy system. And at its core, the energy system must be resilient and reliable, and energy regulation must smartly evolve to meet the growing demands of our society in general. So my job as a regulator is really being responsible for the oversight of the reliability of the grid and assessing what we did, what we're doing, and what we intend to do in the future, and how important it is to understand the nature of the vulnerabilities and the overall risks, especially faced in this transition. And so I look at it also as what's really important is that the regulation of utilities in general work best when all sides choose to cooperate and choose to include as many stakeholders as possible. In ongoing dialogue between the utilities and the public service commissions is very valuable. UTC has been historically helpful in ensuring that communications happen frequently, and you help focus attention on topics that are of interest to your members. And it's something that where the PSEs need to hear the utility perspective. I think it's important for us to look at groups like the North American Energy Standards Board, where industry participants work together to make recommendations to regulatory bodies. That can be very valuable, and we can look at doing that even more widely. Understanding that not all states, just like not all communities, are created equal. Some states have very small PSC staff, and they could benefit from assistance and input from industry groups more than other states. The sharing of what states are doing across the utilities is very valuable. The greatest challenge for the utilities industry today is managing the change results resulting from the transition in the energy industry and demand for high-speed internet access. These represent really good challenges, really good opportunities for electric utilities. There's a need to invest in significant upgrades to transmission and distribution infrastructure to accommodate the electrification of heating and transportation applications. This should also result in increased throughput and revenue. In the Northeast, electric utilities will likely become winter peaking instead of summer peaking, and that will represent challenges such as, will solar, wind, and other renewables be reliable when it's cold and the days are short? We need to examine what will be needed to supplement such intermittent sources of energy. Will batteries do the job? What else is needed? The gas industry needs to also look at, what does it mean as we decarbonize, and how do we facilitate decarbonization responsibly, reliably, and cost effectively? We need to look at, you know, water utilities face the presence of chemicals such as PFAS and also replacement of lead pipes. Telecommunication companies are being pressured to expand broadband access. And we need to look at, what does it mean with the Internet of Things and adding new customers and how that helps. All of these, in my sort of estimation, is that utilities can help embrace this transition and manage impacts on their customers. And if we do it right and we all work together, this transition will find utilities and customers in an even better spot than they are now.
Well said. I mean, you're exactly right. And I agree. In my experience, and obviously in your vision, these partnerships, that cooperation, collaboration is exactly how we're going to move forward. It sounds like the commission has a lot in front of it, but I think you're probably running parallel to a lot of others. A lot of challenges out there, and I have to tell you, I think education is key to this, and your time today with us hopefully was both entertaining and educational for our listeners. I do thank you for joining us today. Is there anything that you'd like to add as we wrap up this episode?
No, just that I think that it's really UTC should be commended for your leadership in this space and the importance of focusing on critical issues like skilled utility workforce and cybersecurity and all the different issues that you help to bring to the table and help highlight how we can do things in a way that gets us all to a better energy future.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Commissioner Berman, for joining us today on The Intersection, sponsored by Anterix, and we look forward to another conversation coming soon to a podcast at The Intersection.
Thank you.
Thank you for meeting us at The Intersection. For more information about the Utilities Technology Council, visit utc.org.